Please be seated. So today is Trinity Sunday. It's one of the seven principal feasts in our church calendar. It celebrates this idea of our triune God. One God, three persons. But, you know, far too often, I think this simply ends up becoming this mathematical conundrum. How can three be one? But see, I think at the heart of the Trinity is that our God is complete community, a community of three distinct persons, yet so united in loving intimacy that they are one divine being. Now, how that works, I don't know. But if you think about it, this God who created our world, us and all that's in it, he is the heart and soul of our universe. And this is where we have come from, and this is what we were intended for, to be made for him. And whether we realize it or not, I think deep within our souls, there's a hunger for reunion with this God who created us. And throughout our lives, this desire pulls us onward to look for God, for things like love and beauty and justice. Ultimately, we were made for love. Now, okay, how many of you watched the royal wedding? Come on, don't be shy. Raise your hands. I did too. Now, I have never been that particularly interested in all the fanfare around the royal family or anything like that. But for some reason, I don't know why, this time I just got pulled in and I watched the whole ceremony. I didn't wake up to see it. I watched a later, you know, rendering of the ceremony. But watching that wedding, a beautiful bride marrying a handsome prince, all the beauty and the grandeur, I mean, it all just seemed like a fairy tale had come to life. Now, N.T. Wright, Anglican New Testament theologian and former Bishop of Durham, in one of his books called Simply Christian, he focuses in on certain aspirations and desires in all of us. Aspirations for justice, for beauty, and for love. I mean, all of us long for justice in the midst of a broken world full of corruption and oppression. All of us have this deep-seated longing for beauty. We're drawn to beauty. And that gets tapped into when we see those breathtaking experiences of staring at like a beautiful sunset or listening to a beautiful piece of music that brings us to tears. And all of us long for love, to love and to be loved in return. And yet in every case, the pursuit of this is often, it's just elusive and disappointing. You know, N.T. Wright believes that I agree with him that these are transcendent voices from God that are intended to draw us back to God. I mean, it's like that feeling when you get to hear our choir, our amazing choir, sing an amazing choral anthem that feels like it's drawing us into heaven. Or when you find yourself experiencing such overwhelming love that it feels like your heart is going to burst. It's all beyond explanation. But the thing about all of these experiences, they don't last. They are, claims N.T. Wright, God's voice calling you and I deeper, pulling us in to the author and creator of love and beauty and the source of true justice. And isn't that what our bishop, our own, I was so proud to be Episcopalian, weren't you, at the wedding? Bishop Curry said, this is what he said about true love. That the true love that we were witnessing in the marriage of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, as is the case in any marriage, in any wedding, it's meant to be a pointer to the true source of love, past them to God himself. Have you recognized the voice of God in your life pulling you into his loving embrace? Have you listened to those yearnings and experiences and realized who it was that was calling to you? In our gospel reading today, we have the story of Nicodemus coming up to Jesus to find out more about this interesting new rabbi that was preaching about the kingdom of God. There was something about Jesus of Nazareth that drew Nicodemus in. He says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." See, apparently Nicodemus had seen and heard Jesus about Jesus doing some amazing things to heal people, to release people from suffering, to lift people out of their despair and their misery. And he recognized in all of this that God must be doing something, that God was out reaching out to him and what he was seeing and what he was feeling. He realizes there's something going on, and so he sets out to try to figure out what's going on. And Jesus responds to Nicodemus, and they proceed to have a somewhat confusing conversation about being born from above and about being born again. And see, part of the confusion is that in New Testament Greek, the word for being born again and the word for being born from above, it's the same word. And so you start realizing the discrepancy, because Jesus is operating on being born from above. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." But Nicodemus understands Jesus to be talking about being born again, because he says, "Well, how can anyone be born after they've grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" And you start seeing the discrepancy. But in the end, it's about both. It's about being born again and being born from above. In order to see the kingdom of God, one must be born again into a new life, but that being born again is also about being born from above, when the Spirit comes to bring new life into our souls. So it's both being born again and being born from above. And so, just like Nicodemus, we're left to wonder, what does this even mean? Obviously, it's not the literal being born again. Nicodemus says, how can that be? We can't get back into our mother's womb to be born again. It's not about physical rebirth. It's about spiritual rebirth, isn't it? It's about being born from above by the power of the Spirit. See, the truth is, God's calling out to all of us, dropping hints and tapping into our souls through beauty, through love, through our deep desires to see justice enacted in the midst of oppression and corruption. He's dropping hints all around us in our circumstances, in the inward yearnings of our soul, when hardships hit and we long for relief and for peace. I think even the royal wedding was a hint from God that pointed beyond itself to the love, intimacy, and grandeur that we have all been created for. A love, intimacy, and grandeur that can ultimately only be experienced in the loving embrace of our triune God. That's why I think for many of us, the royal wedding tapped into something deep within our souls. Why? Because I think God was calling. But in order to truly and fully encounter the living God, our lives have to be remade, reborn, transformed by the Spirit of God. We are not yet fit for the kingdom of God. We're not capable of entering into the glory and the grandeur of God's embrace. See, we are all a confusing mixture of both good and bad, of both purity and corruption. While there is the image of God in every single human being, it has been marred and disfigured by the consequences of our sin. Part of the fallen condition of humanity is that if left to ourselves, we are adrift and lost in the midst of our sin and our darkness that's been brought on by our propensity to just disregard God and life. And in the end, death will swallow us all for good unless God reaches in to make our rebirth possible. And that's why the gospel text says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Jesus, God's only son, was sent into the world not to condemn it, but sent to lovingly and sacrificially love it, to love the world all the way through the cross, to give up his life in order that all who believe in him might be freed from the consequences and bondage of our sinful condition and raised up to new life with him in his resurrection. And we've heard stuff like this all the time. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But notice in our gospel reading what Jesus says, that it is the Spirit that is the primary agent to make all of this happen. But the Spirit is a very mysterious figure, isn't he? "Do not be astonished," Jesus says, "that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses. You hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." You get the idea that the movement of the Spirit of God, it's just hard to pin down. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. But you know the movement of the Spirit. How? By listening. You hear the sound of it. Did you get pulled in by the magic, the wonder and grandeur of the royal wedding? Might that not be the very Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, tapping on the entire world's shoulders? Have you been lifted to the heights by our choir or listening to some beautiful piece of music? Did you realize that at that moment, the Holy Spirit was at work in your life, lifting your heart towards God? Or have you had your breath taken away, staring out into a sunset or out onto a grand mountain range? Did you realize that it was the Holy Spirit filling your heart with wonder and lifting you towards himself? See, in the creation account, when Genesis 1 talks about God creating the heavens and the earth, verse 2 says, "The earth was formless and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind," same word for spirit, "while the Spirit of God swept over the face of the waters." See, at creation, the Spirit of God swept over the creation to create it. Today, the Spirit of God is sweeping through our world to recreate it, to call humanity back to himself, so that we might find new life in Christ and to be reborn by that same Spirit. Do you hear the Spirit of God blowing through the world today? Our triune God is constantly reaching out to us. God the Father orchestrating his plan, God the Son making God visible, and then sacrificing himself so that we can be forgiven and reborn. God the Son, God the Spirit, sweeping across the face of the earth, mysteriously calling us, wooing us back to God, and for all who believe, entering inside of us, remaking us from the inside out so that we are made fit for the kingdom of God. Irenaeus of Lyons, bishop in the second century, had this idea that God the Father was like the head, Jesus and the Spirit were like the hands, reaching out into the world to work out salvation. And so you get the picture of the Trinity. Trinity at work, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, reaching out and pulling us into his loving embrace. Into the love and the unity of the Trinity community. Perfect love, perfect intimacy. And then think about the communion table. We pray to God the Father. We pray to God the Father to send his Holy Spirit to bless and to sanctify the bread and the wine, and to sanctify us, his people, to receive it. And then God the Son, Jesus, sacramentally comes to us in the bread and the wine to feed us with himself, with spiritual food. And in our taking in the presence of Jesus, We are uniting ourselves with Christ. So think about what happens when we unite ourselves with Christ. We live in him and he in us, we say. And so where are we when we unite ourselves in Christ? Where are we located? We have moved right in to the divine community of the Trinity by virtue of our union with Jesus. I don't know how that happens, but I think, oh my goodness, as we unite ourselves with Jesus, we are ushered in to the very presence and the community of our God inside his perfect community of love and intimacy. It is absolutely mind-blowing. We may not see it, we may not feel it, we may not even think about it. But spiritually, what takes place by faith is a spiritual reality that we are elevated and connected into God through Christ by his Spirit's work. And one day, what is only known and talked about and experienced in partial foretastes will one day be full and complete. The veil that separates us from seeing true spiritual reality will all be lifted, and oh my goodness, we will be at home with God, together with all his saints, forever and ever. So I invite you, come deeper. Experience the love of God. Take the Spirit's hand as he seeks to pull you deeper in. And come to our Lord's table to meet our God. Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty.